It's showtime, folks. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. We're live today at Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park, Titans training camp. Big Joe is out at MTSU at their brand-new football facility at Floyd Stadium. So two places at once on this show. Titans practice underway, and Cam Ward and the offense on the field as Tony Pollard breaks one to start the show off. JoJo, how's life in Murfreesboro?
Good, Chase. What kind of formation were the Titans running right then when Pollard broke free?
In the wing tee.
Yeah, this is cool. We're down here at Murfreesboro with the unveiling of the brand new Student Athletic Center, and I'm set up in the back of the facility. Our good friend Chip Walters is hosting this. It's a huge day for Middle Tennessee Athletics. It's a $30 million facility. It puts Middle, Chase, and you graduated here, Dr. Crane graduated here. It puts this program on the same level with all the group of fives that have fantastic athletic complexes. This is nice. This is beautiful. This is a monumental day for Middle Tennessee State, for the football team, and just for the athletic department.
Yeah, and so we're excited and glad that you can be there and I can be here, and so we can kind of cover both things at one time. We'll have a Titans player after practice. Don't know who that is yet, but we will have a Titans player join us after they're done today, and probably have some flavor from Murfreesboro as well. Yeah. John McClain at 9:30. But I do want to go ahead and put this out there. We posted it on Twitter last night, got a lot of reaction. Tomorrow we're going to be at the Omni Nashville Hotel at 10 o'clock at the Omni. Former Titans general manager John Robinson will join us live and in person. And we look forward to that conversation with J-Rob. I know a lot of people have said, ask him this and ask him that. It's going to be a good conversation.
Yeah, everything's on the table. Good job by you, Chase, to get it out there. And, you know, you posted it yesterday that he was coming on, and just the comments just took off immediately. But look,
Twitter,
you know,
blew
what?
Up.
He's gonna face the music tomorrow. We're going to ask everything, and if he can't answer it, he can't answer it. So
yeah,
we'll see. And anyway, I've got to talk like I'm at the Masters because I'm in the very back here, and people are looking at me like I'm crazy, which is typical for most things in my life.
Well, you know, it's okay.
Right.
Be loud. It's okay to be Big Joe and be loud.
I'm with you. Yeah.
So what's Tiger doing on the 17th green? Is he lining up to putt?
I think he's looking at a Perkins waitress. That's what he's doing right now.
Oh, is that our golf clap?
Oh, that is. Thank you, everybody.
Yeah, very, very nice. It's okay. I'm set up at the same spot we were yesterday, and people are just – they realize it's just me, so they're just crowding the table so they can.
Well,
they can
maybe today we'll have Andrew Dice Clay come because he'll probably drop less F bombs than what we had yesterday. So it'll be a lot of fun.
that could be good indeed. Yesterday we noted while we were here, and it was a rough day for Cam Ward, and you're going to have those, especially for a rookie. Brian Callahan kind of commented that, you know, you put the pads on and you can tell the rookies slow down a little bit because it's different. You know, not that they haven't worn pads before, but it's certainly right. a different thing. But this was Brian Callahan this morning talking about Cam Ward and the rough day that he had yesterday.
Brian, after a day like yesterday for Cam, how much is today a nice test to see how he bounces back?
It's the name of the game in training camp, especially for young players, Cam in particular, that you have a day that there's some things you can learn from and see if you've learned from them and get a chance to go do it again. That's the best part of training camp, is that you don't have to wait a week to go see if you show an improvement. You can come back the next day and then hopefully show some growth and improvement.
I was Brian Callahan this morning, and to this point, I mean, I guess he's bounced back. I haven't been able to watch a ton. But from what I've seen on Twitter,
right,
it looks like that he has definitely been better.
Yeah, that's the that soundbite was the same one the guidance counselor McGavitt gave my mom in 11th grade. he'll be better tomorrow, Miss Duman. Maybe, we're not sure, but we'll wait and see.
Were you better the next day?
I was not. I still haven't improved. But it was interesting. We talked to Parker Kelly yesterday from the Air Raid, the podcast. He was on the field yesterday, watched everything, and I said, you know, I was watching Cam, you saw it all. I said, but I thought he got lazy. And Parker's like, yeah, he got lazy and started throwing off his back foot. And that's when interceptions happen. So there's a lot of work. I mean, he's not near the anointed that we all think he is yet. He's got a long way to go. Yesterday was a prime example of that.
Yeah. By the way, I'm not going to lie to you with the applause and everything in the background. I thought that was Dr. Crane playing that. And I'm like, Dr. Crane, stop. Okay, you played it once. It's fine. And then I was like, oh, wait, no, that's an MTSU.
Yeah, it's packed. I mean, there's hundreds of people here. It's outdoors in a tent. And it's like a revival. And it's cool. And I said, all these people that are here need – everybody's looking at me now because I'm making a statement. I said, all these people that are here now need to come to the game on Saturday, 1 month from today, when Middle takes on Austin Peay. You all, it's great to come here for the unveiling, but you need to come to the game. That's where we need you. You need to come. I mean, you guys were here and you saw, you know, the stands. The bigger the stands, the more crowd, the better your team plays. It's science.
Thank you
very much for that applause.
That was good. I love it. But, yeah, so right now, you know, watching the team drills out here, I thought it was interesting, too. I heard Robbie and Rex were talking about this, and then Brian Callahan kind of commented on it this morning of just how difficult the defense has been for the offense, the looks that Denard is giving the offense. And I mean, you know, you get used to it after a while because you see them every day. But, I mean, is that to me, as a head coach, especially offensive-minded head coach, I'm telling my defensive coordinator, I'm like, hey, I want you to bust out things that maybe you usually wouldn't. I want you to try and confuse these guys because that's the only way you're going to learn, right?
That's the only way you're going to learn. You know, very few teams rush just four passers. I mean, if you've got a team where you're rushing four passers and you got the best defense ever to go on with that. So there's going to be different mixes, different blitzes, different schemes, different coverages. I'd throw the farm at him and everything. You think Tampa Bay is going to hold back? You think the Falcons are going to? No. So it's baptism by fire. It's, again, Saturday, all the posts. Oh, he looks so great. You know, no quarterback can make that throw. We could have made that throw on Saturday. But the deal is now, I mean, you give it to him because the Broncos aren't going to take it easy on you. So, yeah, I mean, it's learning every day. And we laughed yesterday, but it's getting better today than we were yesterday. That's the bottom line.
Brian Callahan noted this morning that he did text with Will Levis. Will Levis had successful surgery yesterday and seems to be in great spirits. Good, you know, I'm glad it went well.
Did you hear? Brian said he talked to him right after the surgery. You ever gone to get a teeth pulled and after your dentist appointment, that next 2 hours, you'll say anything.
I wonder if
Will Levis said anything that needs to be known.
Could you imagine if somehow, some way, like one of these guys that has a surgery, we somehow were like, hey, we want to interview them, you know, right when they're still kind of gassed up. The stuff
it'd
they
be
would
radio
say.
Gold. It'd be worse than Sebastian Joseph Dayon yesterday hitting the dumb button.
Yeah. That was certainly, I mean, look, you got to love the guy's personality.
Well, he apologized.
Yep.
See, the crowd here's giving him a hand. He apologized before his cursing, which I talked to him afterwards was not acceptable.
Yes.
The language is just not acceptable.
Yeah, it's okay. 615-737-1025 is our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robert says, shouldn't they let him learn the basics first, then crank it up? I think that's a fair question, but I think the basics, that's what you learn in OTAs and in the offseason. When you get to training camp, yeah, there might be a few practices where you're honing some of those skills, but now it's go time. Because you don't have a lot of practice time.
No, you don't. And then, you know, I think they have a practice, today and tomorrow, and then I think there's a couple this weekend. And then you go to Tampa, then you go to Atlanta. So there's a lot of times you make a mistake, you got to move forward and go on. And so that's the learning curve. We always default back to Aikman and Peyton Manning and then Caleb Williams and then Bryce Young. I mean, it's not easy. I don't know why everybody expected this guy to come in and go 11-6 and get into the promised land because C.J. Stroud did it.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, once in a while. Yeah, you hope that's what Jaden Daniels did. Yeah, you hope that happens. But there's a lot of factors involved with Jaden Daniels. That was a pretty damn good defense they had up there and a pretty damn good offensive line. So
yeah.
He doesn't have that here. So we'll see.
No, and that's the other thing. Like, it's great when those stories happen, but then everybody thinks that that's going to be them. and that, you know, you draft the guy number, well, he's the number one overall pick, so he's going to be a Hall of Famer his first year. Like, no. And look at C.J. Stroud. We'll have John on in about 20 minutes. What happened in his second year?
Yeah, hit that wall.
They figured him out.
Yep, that's exactly
right. Now he's got to adjust. You know, Jaden Daniels, we'll see. You know, we'll see what happens now going into his second year. I mean, they had a great year. But that's what happens in this league. That's why a lot of people say the NFL stands for not for long, because, you know, you have one great year. I mean, the Titans lived it. Mariota, Vince Young, they had really good years, a year, and then it got figured out. How can you adjust? That's on the player, and that's on the coaches.
Well, you look at that as well, you know, with Mariota. They ended up, you know, bringing in backup quarterbacks. They finally had to trade for Tannehill to come in here and do that. Vince Young, Jeff Fisher wasn't stupid. He brought in Kerry Collins, and Kerry Collins is monumental in that 2007 and 8 season to get the Titans to the playoffs. So, look, things happen. You're going to roll with it, so expect the unexpected. But, you know, when adversity happens, what Mike Tyson said, everybody's got a plan to get punched in the face. It's what you do after that that goes on. So I just keep throwing Cam Ward out there. Eventually you'll get it or you won't, and then hopefully you get it.
Dylan says, thank God you're all right, Chase. I was worried after you got caught up in Noah's Ark yesterday, being swallowed by a lion and trapped in a boat.
Oh, it sounded like you're being chased by a chainsaw.
So what was funny is
a submarine.
When I hung up, you know, because of the delay, I turned the radio on and I heard like the last 30 seconds. I was laughing because when I hung up, you were like, did he just get zapped? What happened?
It's our line. You get raptured. Like Chase got raptured.
6932 says, bold prediction. Will Levis comes back from his surgery healthier than ever, is traded to the New Orleans Saints, brings them back to life with a winning record for the first time in several years. Olave is a top 10 receiver. That is a bold prediction.
Sure. Why not?
I'd love to see it because I like Will Levis, but that's a bold prediction.
Yeah, I saw a ranking last night of the top 32 power rankings as of last night going into practice today, and it was the Browns 32, the Saints 31, and the Titans 30. And there's a wide gap between 30 and 29 and on up. So, yeah, I mean, look, he's going to come back, rehab the shoulder, be fine, get traded, and then nobody wishes him bad.
No.
It's just your time is up here. Like Treylon Burks, nobody
– Treylon Burks,
yeah. I'm saying like Callahan, Treylon. Nobody wishes you bad. I hope he gets healthy and goes to the team and has an all-pro career. We don't wish bad on people, and that's it.
615-737-1025. Two people have basically said this, that our question of the day should be either what did Will Levis say post-surgery or
Yes. What
would you ask someone when they got right out of surgery. I think the Will Levis part. Let's do Hair Metal Henry gets credit for that one, so we'll give Henry credit.
Fantastic.
What did Will Levis say when he was still gassed up when he got out of surgery? 615-737-1025. We'll have some fun with that. John McClain will join us at the bottom of the hour. Chase and Big Joe, 1025 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 1025 The Game. I'm at Titans training camp today at Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park. And that coverage is presented by Macero and 12 South and Parman Energy Group. Big Joe is on the campus of Middle Tennessee State University. Are you in Floyd Stadium? Or are you in the new facility?
They have a tent set up next to the new facility out here. So we're all gathered under this big revival tent.
Nice.
It is nice, Chase.
Are you going to speak to the people later?
A little bit. I'm going to get up and do – I'm going to say – I'm going to speak from the book of Sebastian Joseph Day.
Do we have the drop of him on Cam Ward, the edited one? Do we have that, Dr.
No,
Green?
I will grab that for you.
Okay, no, you're good.
That will take him an hour to edit that.
Yeah. I know. I had fun telling people about our interview with him yesterday. They're like, I was like, yeah, I think we set a record.
Right.
The Chase and Big Joe Show presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. Our question of the day that, thanks to Hair Metal Henry, that has popped up is what did Will Levis say
right
when he got out of surgery, was still gassed up after the surgery? 8970 said, he said, is my mayonnaise okay? Aaron Metal Henry said, "Will ask Callahan if the Titans or the NFL is paying for this, or does he have to call Duke's accounting team?"
Yes.
Brian from Camden says, "Did we win?" let's see. Nick and Franklin said, "Just put some mayo on it and I'll be fine."
Mine was new shoulder. Who dis?
Yeah. Mitch and Bellevue. He sang Center Field by John Fogerty. Put me in, coach.
Oh, yes.
3480 says, "I just got back from football heaven. All the footballs were covered in mayonnaise. I was licking them like a big lollipop." 0178. Y'all wouldn't believe this. I just had this crazy dream that I was the starting quarterback for the Tennessee Titans.
Oh, I got one. I'll text it to you. God bless you, Chase.
Thank you.
I got one I can't read on the air, so I'll text it to you.
Okay.
Oh, my Lord.
Dylan says, Will Levis said, "So if I put mayo in this IV bag, will it hit faster? Asking for scientific purpose." Devin and Dixon, "Will woke up and told Callie about the time he won an imaginary Heisman Trophy and he was holding a jar of mayo." Justin, "Coach, you better call your lawyer because I'm about to lay the smack down with a lawsuit." For what? What's at Hermitage? "Did they get the banana peel out, Doc?"
Gross. And that pitcher is just gnarly, man.
By the way, Peter Skoronski will join us after practice today. So
okay.
Looking forward
hey,
to
Pete.
Talking to the Titans offensive lineman. Going into year three. And I just read your text, so thanks. Yeah. Thanks for that.
Hey, Dale, we can't read your text on air, but thanks.
615-737-1025. Couple of new Schefter reporting. The Bengals have released running back Zach Moss, who played 8 games for Cincinnati last year. Didn't really do all that much, so okay, there you go. What was I going to say? I was going to say something else. You ever do that where you have something and then you forget?
Usually only between 9 and 11.
Yeah. Hair Metal Henry said, "Will said, hey, coach. Hey, Coach Stoops, great to hear from you." Could you imagine if, like, again, I've talked about this before, if they were like, "Hey, you got a year left," and he could go back to Kentucky?
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't you do that and re-enter the draft?
Isn't that crazy to think that could be a possibility one day? Go
it
back
could.
And do that. I mean, the 21 Will Levis was fantastic. The 22 Will Levis, nah. Because, again, a lot of people knew, had tape on him. He didn't do a lot at Penn State. So he's at Kentucky in 21. He was slinging the ball everywhere. It looked good.
If I'm him, I do like Sam Darnold did, and there's a few there's another one I'm trying to think of that did it. Basically, go play for the right coach. So in his case, go to Jacksonville and Liam Cohen, somebody that he had his best year with, and just back up for a year. If you get your opportunity, you get your opportunity. But kind of get your head right and work on some technique, and then who knows what might happen. I mean, again,
right?
You know, look, Sam Darnold goes out to San Francisco, plays with Shanahan, and then he ends up, you know, the starter for Minnesota, and now he's in Seattle. Now, how that's going to work out, I don't know, but there's certainly examples of it. Of if you're with the right coach in the right system, that it might unlock something with you. I mean, I think there's nothing wrong with saying that Will Levis wasn't the right fit for this team and this system.
No, and you know, I don't know why some guy, and this is not on Will Levis, but like, why not go to the CFL? You get paid, you're getting all these reps, you're doing good. I mean, it worked for Warren Moon and Garcia and Doug Flutie. I know there's some up there that didn't work out for him, but you're getting the reps, man, and you're going nonstop, and you're leading team. And so if I'm a scout or a GM, I'm thinking, all right, Will Levis, look, he looked good in Saskatchewan, but throwing the ball is throwing the ball, right? Passing the ball is passing the ball, whether you're here, there, or doesn't matter. And say, hey, my shoulder's good, I can lead the team, and then, I mean, you can make good money in Canada and then come back to the NFL. You're young. He's still got plenty of time.
B-Man says, Will said, Duval, and then go Jags.
Oh, gosh. If he did that, I'd operate on his other shoulder.
You know what would happen, though, because this is just so, so Titans, is that he ends up with the Jags. Lawrence gets hurt, like, for a week. Levis has to play against the Titans and throws, like, six touchdowns and just looks all pro. You know that'll happen, right? Did we lose Joe? I think we lost Joe. Okay, good. Good. Well, it's time to break anyway. John McClain is going to join us coming up next. Again, we are live at Titans training camp today. Big Joe is at MTSU. 102.5 The Game and Souls for Souls have teamed up for back-to-school fundraiser called Souls for the 615. It's to provide new shoes for kids experiencing homelessness in Nashville. You can help a child in Middle Tennessee step into the new school year with confidence by donating $20 for a new pair of athletic shoes. For more information and to donate, visit thegamenashville.com/shoes. Souls for the 615 is sponsored by Macero and 12 South. Go check them out for handcrafted cocktails, bowl plates, great happy hour, and elevated hospitality. John McClain up next here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe at Titans training camp today. That's where I'm at. Big Joe is out at MTSU for their building dedication. And I appreciate both places for having us. Titans in practice right now doing their big team drills. The offensive line seems to be looking better, and Peter Skoronski going to join us after practice. Today we say hello now to John McClain, presented by Maple Street Biscuits. Wake up to WOW. John, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Coming on with you guys gave me a chance to leave the Texans practice and come out to my car, turn it on, turn on the air condition, and I'm ready to roll.
Very good. Before we get started, Everett Gerlings told me to tell you hello.
I hope Everett's off to a good start. I'm sure he will be as you guys adjusted him. He did a great job here, and I'm so glad to see him get that promotion and a number one job, especially with the Titans.
Yep, absolutely. So let's start with the AFC South opponent for the Titans. How are the Texans looking to this point in training camp?
They put on pads on Monday, and until that point, their offensive line, when they couldn't hit, they're, you know, Will Anderson Jr. and Danielle Hunter blowing by them, and the media's talking about how bad they are, which is preposterous when you can't hit somebody. So they put on pads Monday, so they've had two padded practices. They did look better. The defense is way ahead of the offense. C.J. Stroud's thrown some interceptions, and Joe Mixon, their running back, we've known all along that Joe Mixon might not be ready for the first game. It's been reported here extensively, but then when a national guy gets it, it blows up like it's nobody knew it. So Nick Chubb is running first team, and at least out on the field without full contact, Nick Chubb looks tremendous. No sign of any injuries had. So 2 years ago with his knee, last year with a broken foot, and he'd love nothing more than to show the Browns they made a big mistake by letting him go. The offensive line's still a work in progress. Think about this, Chase. A new starter at every position in the offensive line, and only one of them started at another position last year. So you can imagine the growing pains they're experiencing.
Yeah, well, the Titans are faced with something similar. I mean, Skoronski right now is the only starter at his position that's back. Latham moves from the left side to the right side. Cushenberry, the center, is out. But, you know, all indications are they're at least improved from what we saw last year. I want to ask you about, you mentioned Stroud, and everybody talks about Stroud's rookie year and how much of a surprise that was for them, and everybody's kind of looking for the next C.J. Stroud and ask, could Cam Ward be the next C.J. Stroud? What was it that you saw that worked for him, that made him comfortable as a rookie quarterback in the NFL? Was it just a combination of things? But what stood out to you?
He had a new head coach. He had a new offensive coordinator, of course, because he's a rookie, and a new play caller, and he they had a first-year quarterback coach all stepping into that role. All of them did a good job. Bobby Slowick did a really good job his first year as the coordinator, worked closely with Stroud, and Gerard Johnson was the quarterback coach, and they all got along great. But players emerged, like Nico Collins really emerged as a receiver. He'd been injury-plagued his first 2 years, but I thought Collins started to show he could be a premier receiver. And their offensive line, despite a lot of injuries, played really well with a bunch of backups. And then it all collapsed last season. But Stroud, the difference last year was he loses Nico Collins 5 games, Stephon Diggs for 9. Tank Dell missed what got hurt in December, lost the rest of the year. So they were plucking guys off the practice squad to play wide receiver, and they couldn't protect him. So the key is they got to be able to protect Cam Ward. He's going to run a lot when the plays break down, and he can do that. But the good thing that they have that the Texans did not have is a good, proven offensive line coach. And no matter who the coordinator is, who the quarterback coach is, the offensive line coach is the most important coach on the offense.
We're talking to John McClain on the Chase and Big Joe show here today. John, Cam Ward had an awful day of practice yesterday. I'd like for you just to tell Titans fans that it's going to be okay, because I'm sure in your time covering the Oilers / Texans, you saw some awful training camp practices from quarterbacks, didn't you?
Training camp practices don't mean squat, because number one, they've gone through the entire offseason and the early part of camp, no pads at all. They haven't put on pads since the last game of last season, and you're playing with a lot of receivers, not just your starters. C.J. Stroud threw 2 interceptions yesterday. So, yes, you can't judge anything. Like, I think, and I apologize if you guys do it, keeping track of what a quarterback does in OTAs and early in camp as far as completions and incompletions. Well, you don't know if the receivers are running the right route, and a lot of times they're not because they're new and there's so many of them. Now, if he starts doing that in preseason games when he plays, then it's going to be worrisome, but it doesn't matter until they start the season. And then you'll see it. I don't think you're going to see Cam Ward doing that.
John, how next week, we won't talk to you before they go, but they go to Tampa and take on the joint practice with the Buccaneers. How critical and crucial is that for the development of Cam Ward, even if it's good or bad, to throw Cam out there to the Wolves?
Well, he can't get hit, so that's not a good barometer of what's going to happen to him. But, you know, if he throws to the right receivers, coaches, of course, love joint practices, because they can control them. Those guys, he and Todd Bowles, they'll be talking ahead of time about what they want to do on both sides of the ball in special teams. So Callahan and Bowles will have it all orchestrated. If coaches had their way, I don't think they would play preseason games. I think they just have joint practices. So that'll be really good for a team with young players, and especially a team with a young quarterback who's going to start.
John McClain is with us. And, yeah, to that point, I mean, we'd like to see the offensive line. We'd like to see Cam Ward. We'd like to see some of these young receivers play in the preseason game. But as you just said, it feels like the coaches are satisfied with what they get out of those practices. And there's also that constant paranoia of they don't want to get anybody hurt.
I talk to longtime players all the time about what they used to do with 6 preseason games and then 4. And then when it was 4, the starters would play the first quarter. Next game, they'd play 2 quarters. Next game, they'd play 3. And the last one, at the 4th preseason game, they'd play 3. And then, of course, they're ready for regular season. Now they don't do that because players stay in shape all off season. But I do think they missed something, especially when it comes to blocking and tackling, because they haven't been able to do it very much. And I think a rookie quarterback needs to play more in preseason than a veteran does. I know Stroud played in three preseason games, and I'm guessing Cam Ward will too. He just won't play a lot.
How important is it? Like, we've seen Cam Ward throw to Calvin Ridley a lot. Like, I feel like all the big plays are to Ridley. Now, you've paid Ridley a lot of money. He's your number one receiver. That's obviously something you want out of him. But it does sometimes a rookie quarterback get too comfortable with one guy? And how do you coach that? Because obviously the other teams are going to figure that out eventually.
Absolutely, they can get too comfortable, too confident. But then if Ridley's getting open when the season starts, he keeps feeding him the ball. But it's pretty obvious Calvin Ridley's going to get a lot of double teams. Ward needs what C.J. Stroud got 2 years ago with Nico Collins, a receiver who there hasn't been a lot of attention, but when staying healthy and getting an opportunity, really steps up, to give them a second option that the coaches are confident in, and more importantly, that Ward is confident in, and that is paramount for a new quarterback's growth.
We're talking to John McClain from Houston. We'll have more with him coming up next here on Chase and Big Joe. Chase at training camp, Big Joe at MTSU here on 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game at Titans training camp today, where they're wrapping things up for practice. And talking to John McClain, presented by Maple Street Biscuits. Wake up to wow. JoJo?
John, through your career, I'm just curious, how much do the Texans pay attention to other AFC rivals during camp? I mean, are they look, you know, have a breakdown every day? Like, here's what went on the Titans. Real quick, like, hey, Cam Ward had a bad day, and you know, Jacksonville did this or did that. Or they do not concern themselves at all during camp?
Well, is keeping up with every team on their schedule, especially teams in the division, as much as they can. Now, I don't think they've got somebody there scouting. They wouldn't tell me if they did, but I know they keep up with things that are on the internet. You know, they see you guys, like I know I retweet things with y'all all the time. I guarantee you the Colts and the Jaguars and the Texans, because the coaches feel any morsel of information is an advantage. Bill O'Brien told me 1 year, he said, I look for anything and everything. He said, every morsel of information is an advantage when you're trying to win. And I said, well, you need more morsels.
Do the Texans have joint practices coming up the next few weeks?
Yeah, they've got Detroit and they've got Carolina before they play preseason games.
Is that the same? You know, we talk about the work and everything. I guess it's uniform across the league. The coaches get together. I'm sure Todd Bowles is going to go to Brian Callahan and say, or Callahan to Bowles and say, hey, at some point, send the farm. I mean, do coaches do that, kind of negotiate what they're going to do, what kind of plays throw out there? Because I would.
Coaches orchestrate everything, Joe. That's why they like it. They know exactly what they want to see from their side of the ball, from the other team's side of the ball. That's why they like joint practices as much as they do. So, yeah, they could send everybody after Cam Ward. They're going to want to see pressure on him. Of course, he can't be it, but they want to see how he reacts. Does he go with the ball where he's supposed to? Does he panic? Does he take off? That's why those things are so good.
We're talking to John McClain, and I'm curious of your thoughts on this. The Titans signed Joey Sly to be their kicker this year. He had kicks above 60 yards last year, I think in New England. He hit from 66 in practice the other day at Nissan Stadium. How is it beneficial, am I overthinking this, to have a big leg kicker for a rookie quarterback? Because you know they're going to be in position to have to make some kicks.
Well, first of all, Joey Sly, who had a cup of coffee here, he's bounced around. He's got a great leg. He's just not been consistent. What you need is a guy who can connect on field goals inside the 40, be almost perfect. Because as you guys know, whether you have a rookie or you have a veteran, so many games are decided on field goals. I cannot believe teams don't put more emphasis and pay more money on field goal kickers. Texans have had Kaimi Fairbairn. He's now the senior member of the team. And even though he'll miss some, he's been very consistent throughout the years. And they feel like if they get to the 40, that he's capable of kicking anything inside 60. And Sly's certainly got the big leg.
John McClain is with us. I wanted to ask you about the Broncos, and they re-signed Courtland Sutton, their fine receiver. He kind of indicated that he almost took a bit of a pay cut and didn't push for more money because he wanted to keep this team together. What do you make of that? And are the Broncos a team that you really think have taken the steps forward with Sean Payton as their head coach and Bo Nix at quarterback and could actually be a contender this year?
No, I don't think they're a Super Bowl contender. They still got, remember last year, incredible cap problems. They made the decision to move on from Russell Wilson, took a huge bite out of their cap, and then all of a sudden Bo Nix played really well after the early part of the season. Bo Nix, like Jaden Daniels, every second-year quarterback has to worry because the defensive coordinators have watched tape of them throughout the offseason and will have different kinds of strategies. And your play caller, and Sean Payton's a good one, he knows this, he's got to adjust as well. Bobby Slowick couldn't do it here, didn't do it, and he got fired. But Payton's been through the wars, he knows. So I look for them to be a playoff team. Super Bowl contender, no. I think that'll be another year. And that's great that Courtland Sutton said that. The truth is, that's all he was going to get. If teams want to pay the big bucks, they can pay the big bucks. And it doesn't matter if you've got Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson. That thing about getting your players while your quarterback's on his rookie contract, that's just said by people that are not very good at their jobs.
John, I'm sorry, talking to John McClain on the Chase and Big Joe Show. John, Chase and I, you know, we're at practice. It's over about an hour and a half. They're done this morning by 9:45. Tell me what it was like a training camp practice in, say, 1984. Describe a day in training camp practice in 1984, because I'd love if Bum Phillips was around today to get his thoughts on what an hour practice would be during camp.
Well, first of all, teams did not have facilities that were conducive for players to work out through all the offseason, cafeterias where they could get three meals a day and snacks, all healthy, the equipment they had. So they didn't have to work as hard in the off season when they started to get all teams figured, if we do all that, players will want to be there and they'll stay in shape. Back then, players started to get in shape in June. A lot of them had other jobs, and practices were longer. There were two-a-days. They hit padded practices. The first day, they beat the hell out of each other because they thought that was the way to get them in shape. And the truth is, every player I talked to from 60s, 70s, 80s, they say there are the same number of injuries today that there were then. And nobody knows why, especially since they do everything they can to prevent injuries because they're scared to death of the salary cap, how it's going to affect them having to replace players. But it's so much easier at this time of year than it used to be. And coaches have quick practices because they know what they want to get done in the amount of time they want to do it. And when the team does well, players know that. If they come out and they're sharp, they're going to get off the field quicker.
Well, I just think it's, you know, you see what goes on. I remember reading a thing about George Blanda recently, how George Blanda missed part of training camp because he couldn't get an excuse from his day job to go to camp. And so it's just funny how, John, how it's all evolved now. And you're right. You've told us along all this whole time about how it's so important now because it's just more than football. It's endorsement deals and big contracts that go on. That's a great evolution of the game of football.
And players play long, have longer careers, and they know it. And the longer they play, they're going to make more money. And they're not doing cocaine and partying all night like they used to do back in the 70s and the early 80s. And when they were partying almost every night, players are more serious about football. Now, you see some numbskulls and some nitwits who still have problems off the field, but they're not long for the football world.
We're talking to John McClain. John, Trey Hendrickson looks to end his holdout with the Bengals and report to training camp. Is that usually a sign that a contract is probably looming?
Yes, absolutely. You know, he's lost $50,000 a day. Can't get that money back. You can't forgive it like they used to unless you're on a rookie contract, which he's not. And he won't get T.J. Watt money from the Bengals, but he'll get a significant raise, and he'll be happy, and he'll terrorize quarterbacks again.
So with that, and they got their second round pick, signed, the Bengals, do you feel like they're going to take a step forward and be back in the contention in the AFC this year?
Well, they only missed the playoffs by one game last season because they got off to another slow start. If they get off to another slow start, they're going to be in the same predicament, playing from behind. Joe Burrow even talked about playing more in preseason. I'll believe it when I see it, but I do think because the offense is so good, the passing game, and Burrow is so good, they're a Super Bowl contender, but they're not on the equal of the Ravens.
John, great stuff as always. We appreciate it, and we will talk to you next week when there's actually some preseason games to talk about.
Yeah, yippee-ki-yay, you know how that is. Bring on the regular season.
Right? Thank you, John. John McClain joining us, presented by Maple Street Biscuits. Wake up to WOW every Wednesday at 9:30 here on the program. Joe, they are in red zone drill right now as they are wrapping practice up, and just kind of watching them go through that. One, I think it was the first team had a field goal, so settle for that. But watching Tim Boyle now lead his offense.
Tim Boyle, lead the Titans to the promised land. Wouldn't that be great? What a great story that would be.
That would
definitely be a great story. Tim Boyle.
Wow. That was pretty good. Well done.
Because it's 1,000 degrees here in Murfreesboro. I'm sitting in the sun. That's why I'm delirious.
So is everything done now?
Yeah. It's the Stephen and Denise Smith Student Athletic Performance Center. So everybody's inside now for the tour, and I've seen the pictures here at MTSU, and it's state of the art. I mean, it is. Put an example, how updated the facilities needed to be. Derek Mason, as of last week, Derek Mason was in the same office that Boots Donnelly had in Murfreesboro.
That's how
much needed the update was here in Murfreesboro. And I'm telling you, it is nice. This is phase one. Phase two is going to update Murphy Center. I love Murphy Center. I think it's a great little thing. And then phase three, they're going to put an indoor facility here on campus for the football team. So things are working. And then I think it'll be a pretty good year for this MTSU football team. Hopefully, fingers crossed.
Tim Boyle just put one on a rope into the end zone. Very nice. Very nice throw. The question will be, they build that indoor facility, how soon they can have that, because that's obviously a game changer, but that'll be really cool to see there at MTSU. We'll have more coming in hour number two, including Titans offensive lineman Peter Skoronski when practice is over. Chasing Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, 102.5 The Game.